Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Joining me for the conversation today, glad to welcome back Paul Hsiao, asset allocation strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, joining us today from our podcast studio here in New York. So, Paul, thank you for dropping by. I know you're joining us to speak a bit about the recent publication from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Election 2024, Critical Takeaways for Global Entrepreneurs. So thank you for dropping by today, Paul.
My absolute pleasure.
So I know today, Paul, we'll spend some time covering items on the minds of global business owners and entrepreneurs, among them politics, the potential outcome of the 2024 U.S. election, the outcome implications to economic activity, along with the overall health of the U.S. economy and what it all means for the market. So maybe beginning with politics, the first presidential debate between this featured the revised ticket of Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. Occurred a week ago from today, last Tuesday evening. Now, in what already has been a volatile election season, has this debate outcome materially changed a CIO's view as to the potential outcome scenario of decision 2024?
I think that's a great question. I think the conventional wisdom going to presidential elections is that while debates are entertaining, definitely worth watching for a lot of American voters, it doesn't tend to move the needle so much. This election season has been quite unusual, to say the least, and it does seem that the two presidential debates that we've had so far has had a material impact on the candidates and their trajectory. Right now, despite, I think most pundits would agree that Kamala Harris had a pretty decisive win over Trump in last week's debate, I think it's still a bit too early looking at the polls to see that there is a convincing leading trend going into 2020, you know, in a similar fashion that Hillary Clinton had over Trump in 2016. And I looked at the predicted odds earlier today, and while there was a bump, it wasn't anything desperately out of reach that I think the Trump campaign could not make up in the next couple of weeks. So yes, it's certainly a boost for the Harris campaign. Yes, it's still very, very tight. It's still a very, very unusual election. There's a possibility of, you know, quote, quote, October surprises to happen in the next coming weeks. So for us, you know, market watchers and political watchers, we're still very much on our toes.
So a lot can happen between now and Election Day. Now, Paul, when it comes to questions of the economy, what should business owners, investors be aware of when it comes to the differences between the Harris and Trump economic agendas? There is a lot of them.
Certainly. I will say that it is worth noting that a lot of these policy proposals from either candidate, they're all aspirational. Most likely, you know, either candidate is not going to achieve everything that they want as soon as they want it. But if past is prologue, I'd say that, you know, both Trump and Kamala Harris certainly have distinct economic agendas. The metaphor that I like is that Trump seems to use policy much more like a hammer, whereas Kamala Harris used policy kind of like a scalpel, a bit more surgical, a bit more on the margins. So on the Trump side of things, I think most notably his proclivity for tariffs, for more tariffs this time around compared to the first administration, certainly have not only a big impact domestically, but also for businesses and entrepreneurs abroad. There has been, on the positive side for businesses, I think Trump has alluded to a less intense regulatory environment, which certainly would boost M&A in our view. And he's also talked about tax cuts, both on the household side and on the corporate side, which I'm sure a lot of businesses would appreciate. But also, it is deficit spending that markets are, I think, increasingly sensitive as the overall debt to GDP in the U.S. goes higher and higher. So there are positive and negative sides for the Trump policies. On the Harris side, you know, very similar. I think there's a very similar way to look at it, that there are positives and negatives. On the positive side, I think small business owners should be encouraged that Harris seems to have lasered in on encouraging small businesses in the U.S., establishing new ideas compared to the Biden administration, like the $50,000 tax credit. Mm-hmm. How it's going to be actually funded, I think, is still somewhat up in the air. But that's somewhat balanced with rhetoric to, you know, increase the corporate tax rate, increase the tax rate on the top 1%, et cetera. So there are, I think, pluses and minuses, differences in policy that I think small businesses should watch out for. But I think with all of this, and I mentioned at the top of the question that these are aspirational, we haven't changed our odds of, I guess, a Harris presidency around 55%, but with majority of that placed on a divided government. And similarly, on the if Trump wins, there is a high likelihood of a red sweep just given the electoral map. But it is quite likely that he might preside under a divided government too. So mm-hmm. pushing legislation that would materially impact small businesses, I think, would be quite difficult. And talking to some of our analysts in the CIO office, there's an expectation that just like the first term, while Trump does like to use tariffs and, you know, they can be much more easily put into place versus putting into legislation, a lot of this might come down to negotiation at the end of the day. So just threatening something high and then negotiating in a similar fashion that the USMCA was renegotiated after the destruction of NAFTA, for example.
Okay, so important to know the pros and cons associated mm-hmm. with both agendas. As you pointed out, the composition of Congress will play a factor as well. So speaking of economic conditions, it does look like, Paul, that the U.S. economy has slowed compared to where we were at the beginning of 2024. So does this derail the soft landing narrative CIO has been expecting?
While conditions have certainly slowed, I think it's still a bit too early to say that the soft landing narrative has been completely derailed. We had a client event earlier this week, and I remember mentioning that it's actually very hard for markets to get a gauge on the economy this year. At the start of the year, investors were expecting around 6 rate cuts, and that's very supportive for equities and growth remaining quite strong. In the middle of the year, investors expected 0 to 1 rate cuts as inflation and growth data was a bit hotter than expected. Mm-hmm. And then now we're not too different than consensus, expecting about 100 basis points of rate cuts while in a cooling economic environment, particularly in the labor market. I think traditional signs of pronounced economic weakness that signals recession aren't terribly reliable this time around. You know, declines in the leading index, the inversion of the yield curve, the below 50 readings on ISM PMI manufacturing. You know, all of these are certainly happening, and I think the Fed is aware of them. But I think growth remains actually quite resilient. The last time I checked, the Atlanta Fed GDP tracker for the latest quarter, it's still above trend at around 2.5%. For us, there are signs that the consumer is slowing down, but spending remains quite strong as we go into the second half of the year. So we still believe that, yes, there are softer conditions in the U.S., and that's really giving permission for the Fed to embark on rate cuts rather than something more concerning that there's an imminent recession, in our view.
And of course, we will learn more from the Fed when we receive the statement tomorrow, September 18th at 2 p.m. Eastern. So just with respect to historical precedent, what does history, Paul, tell us about market conditions in an election year?
Right. I think there's a lot of work about this done in the CIO office. And in general, it's really hard to make any strong conclusions about how the market reacts on different elections. I think when in 2016, when we had that surprise Trump win and markets reacted really, really fast, especially in the rates and currency markets. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen anything similar to that this time, I think, because both candidates, back then it was Biden, now it's Harris, and then obviously Trump again. These are somewhat known quantities for investors in the American public versus the somewhat surprising and at the time more unknowable presidency of Trump back in 2016. And that really had an impact. So for us, general economic conditions, the path of what the Fed is going to do, I think are much more important to markets than necessarily the election season. We do expect volatility to remain elevated as we go into election season. And that's something that history had a pretty clear pattern for. But in terms of like a permanent impact into the trajectory of, let's say, the equity market, that's much harder to conclude on just simply, is this an election year or not?
Okay, so at this point, Paul, you've left our listeners, our clients, with a lot to consider. Of course, as we look ahead to Election Day, a lot still needs to be figured out, understood. So at this point, what should international business owners keep in mind? What are a few takeaways for today, Paul?
Certainly. I think international business owners are really keeping two things in mind. First is the different policy proposals that would affect their businesses. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of business owners abroad are concerned about tariffs because that might permanently change the structure of their businesses and the demand coming from the U.S., which is still the largest market in the world for many things. I mentioned before that while it is, I think, easy to say that's immediately stagflationary, it's going to damage relationships, we are cognizant that at least in 2018, there was several months where tariffs were announced but not implemented yet. Mm-hmm. And we think that there's likely going to be a period of negotiation. And if there are tariffs, it's very hard to see them being implemented in 2025. It's much more of a 2026 or 7 story if they actually do come to pass. Mm-hmm. So while I think a lot of business owners might be a bit apprehensive of a Trump win because of tariff policy, we think that it's still somewhat of a hurdle to get there. On the second point, I think international businesses are still very concerned about the trajectory of the overall U.S. economy, what that means for the dollar and what that means for overall demand. Mm-hmm. And from that respect, we still believe in the soft landing thesis. We think that while the U.S. Is likely to go through a period of below trend growth, mm-hmm. it's slowing but not exactly collapsing, and it's really hard to see a recession from the U.S. In the immediate future, no matter who is president. So the U.S. will continue to be a pretty outsized player in international markets.
Well, Paul, thank you for dropping by the studio today, for sharing your insights, guidance on how to perhaps manage expectations, understand possible outcomes, the implications of them. I'm sure we'll have other conversations leading up to and post-election day, though thank you, Paul, for joining us today here in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, today we have been speaking with Paul Hsiao, asset allocation strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. I will point our listeners, our clients, to the publication which Paul had been making reference to today, that being Election 2024, Critical Takeaways for Global Entrepreneurs. For clients of UBS, please reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy directly. You can also now locate the publication up on UBS.com/CIO. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit UBS.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit UBS.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.